Let's take our Bibles then. You should have it by now, 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Just quick review. Week number 1, 2 weeks ago, we looked at mistakes of competitiveness. The mistake of competitiveness in ministry. And we're not competing against anyone at Anchor Baptist. We're not competing against anyone in Burnaby, BC, or wherever. We are striving together for the cause of Christ. We need to work together. So we talked about that. Then last Sunday, we got into this miracle of cooperation. Miracle of cooperation. And, of course, that's the opposite of the mistake of competitiveness. And so we covered that. And then today, we're on number 3, big number 3, looking at verse number 11, 1 Corinthians 3:11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, there's the materials. We'll talk about that. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Okay, number 3. Number 3, as we consider striving in ministry. Number 3, the materials for construction in ministry. The materials for construction in ministry. I think we all know this, that wherever you are in your Christian walk, we're still under construction. God's not finished working on me. I'm thankful for that. God's not finished working on you. I'm thankful for that. As a Christian, when God's finished working on me, I'll be in heaven. Same for you. All right? And that's like the old song from Sunday school. He's still working on me. Maybe you remember that one. To make me what I ought to be. So we are under construction. We're under construction. I got saved when I was 9 years old. That's 36 years ago. I've not arrived yet. I've got plenty of things I need to learn. I've got so much more growing in grace than I need to do. I'm under construction, by the way. So while no one has arrived, also on the other side, or another way to look at it is this, that no one's failure is final. Think about that. How many of us have failed? Raise your left hand, all right? Everybody should have their left hand up. This is your left hand, right? My left hand, not your left hand, my left hand. But we've all failed, every one of us. The Bible says a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. That doesn't say, it doesn't say if a just man falleth 7 times. It just says a just man falleth 7 times, which means we're going to fail. I'm going to fail. You're going to fail. But failure does not need to be final. That's what the enemy wants. The enemy wants you to stay down. The enemy wants me to stay down. The enemy wants us to stay discouraged. The enemy wants us to stay defeated. But God is working on me. God is working on you. We are all under construction. God is the one doing the work. He's still working on us. And so it doesn't matter today where you're at, again, in your Christian walk. Maybe you have failed in recent days. Maybe you have failed in recent months. Maybe just you haven't read your Bible in a while. You know, it's time to get up. It's time to dust yourself off. It's time to repent. It's time to get right with God and know that God is specializes in putting lives back together. God specializes in rebuilding piece by piece. Like what it says there in verse number 10 of our text. If you look at that in verse number 10, it says, "But let every man." But let every man, see it's the end of verse 10. We actually started reading in verse 11 today, but so just slide up. But let every man take heed. Let every man take heed. So we're supposed to be examining our lives. I'm not supposed to take heed of what you're doing necessarily, and you take heed of what I'm doing, but I'm supposed to take heed how I'm building. How am I building on my life? Now, here's the good news. The good news is this. Whether it's the Anchor Baptist Church or whether it's your life, praise God, as Christians, if you're a believer, that is, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then the foundation is sure. The foundation is steadfast. The foundation is secure. The foundation is not really any sort of doctrine. Although doctrine is important, the foundation is not tradition. Some tradition is good, not all, but the foundation is not my education. No, the foundation for the Christian, the foundation for the local church is a person, right? The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the sure foundation. Praise God. We're not building on sand when we're building on the Lord Jesus Christ. So build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. Build your life on God and His Word. And so the only sure foundation that we build a relationship, a family, a church ministry, The local church is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so praise God for that. We're not trying to build on something that is shifting. No, Jesus Christ is our anchor. He is secure. He is the rock. And I'm thankful that we can work together in ministry. We can strive together in ministry, and we're building on Him. So now we're going to look at three construction as we construct the ministry. We're really zeroing in on three areas about building on the foundation and what we're to consider. So letter A, in your notebook there, how are we building? Letter A, the resilience of our materials. So the blank there is resilience of our materials. Verse 12 says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, so that's one grouping. Then the second grouping, wood, hay, and stubble. So we have two lists of three there. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Okay? Now, many materials are used to build lives. Many materials are used to build ministries. We do use, these are the materials. Now, the education and the doctrine and our daily choices and all of this does have to do with the materials. But we're taking those materials and we're building them on the rock. We're building them on the Lord Jesus Christ. Really, though, as you look at these two sets of three, it boils down to eternal and temporal. So these two sets of three can be categorized as eternal and temporal. Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 with me. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, but just a few pages over. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, and let's look at verse number 18. 2 Corinthians 4:18, the Apostle Paul writing, second letter to the church at Corinth. We've been studying a lot about this in the morning preaching time. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. Okay, that would be the wood, hay, and stubble reference. That's what it's referring to. But the things which are not seen are eternal. And that would be the gold, silver, and precious stones. All right? And so these are the two categories. In other words, when we think about these two categories, how do they hold up over time? How does gold, silver, and precious stones hold up? How does wood, hay, and stubble hold up? All right? Let's look first at the temporal materials. The temporal materials. I think you know those are wood, hay, and stubble. Okay? Over time, they deteriorate. Over time, they decay. Over time, they will not be as strong as they once were. And then also, as we consider the way God lays it out for us here in His Word, is what will happen when they are put to the test? What's the test? The test is referred to as fire. As fire. What will they look like after being tested by the fires of God's judgment? Well, temporal materials, wood, hay, and stubble, when they are lit on fire, figuratively, but also literally and also figuratively, what's going to happen to them? They're going to be burned up. There's not going to be anything left. There's just going to be ashes. So these are, again, temporal. Wood, hay, stubble, temporal. Then another way that we look at these things are they are not only temporal, but they are earthly. They are earthly. Now you think about it. Temporal, earthly. That's not what we should be striving for. That's not what we should be striving for. They are what the world values. Okay? Now what the world values and what a Christian values should not be the same. But what the world values is possessions. What the world values is power. What the world values is popularity. What the world values is, you know, working their way up the ladder at work, so to speak. But none of this carries over into eternity. It doesn't matter how many cars you have. It doesn't matter how many homes you have or boats I have. I have no boats. I don't even have an inflatable boat. But nothing wrong with having those things. But they're not going to go into eternity. These are all temporal. These are all only going to last for a certain period of time. Yes, it's useful, some of these things, but it is temporal. And for the most part, things benefit self. Now, we can use things to help people. Yes, don't Don't get me wrong. We can use our car to go pick somebody up and bring them to church. And we ought to be if God allows us to do that and we have opportunity. We could use that. And we have people that need rides sometimes. That's a blessing. Use the temporal things for the glory of God. And that's a good thing to do. And we can do that. But for the most part, if we're not careful, these temporal things can be what control our lives instead of the eternal. And so the resilience of our materials is letter A that we're looking at. The resilience. How are they going to stand up when they get tested by the fires of God's judgment? Okay, so then we have number two. So we look at the temporal. Now let's look at the eternal. The eternal. Paul says the eternal is known as gold, silver, precious stones. This is things like virtue, truth, mercy, our character, righteousness, things of these natures, things that have eternal value, things that heaven values. So the temporal is more earthly, the eternal is more heavenly. I think we understand that. An encouraging word, an unselfish act, a helping hand, a generous gift, all of these things. These are the things that we want to be using. Again, the whole lesson is striving in ministry. And so as we strive in ministry, we want to focus on the eternal thing. We want to build on the Lord. Now, the Lord is the rock. Amen? He's faithful. He is sure. He is steadfast. He's unmovable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But that doesn't mean that what I'm using to build on Him is right. I need to make sure that I'm using materials that are eternal. I need to make sure that I'm using materials that have a value in heaven, that I'm laying up treasure in heaven. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, you might have it in your notes there. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 1. Very familiar verses here, but ones that are very applicable in this lesson. If ye then be risen with Christ, that means if you're saved, all right, if you're saved and you know it, shout amen. 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 If you're saved, if you're risen with Christ, what should you be doing? Seek those things that are above. Too many Christians today seeking for things down here. Wait a minute. No. That's not what God's Word says. If I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, I should be seeking heavenly things. I should be seeking to lay up treasure in heaven where there is no moth, where there is no rust, there is no corruption, where there are no thieves. And that should be my goal. I should be setting my affection on things above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. No, verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So, two times, set your affection on things above. And things that are above are eternal, not temporal. The more I grow in grace, my materials that I'm choosing to build with should be an indication that I am growing in grace. In other words, what I'm using to build with is a revealer of my spiritual maturity or, unfortunately, my lack thereof. What are you using right now to build your life? What are you using to build on the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it temporal? Is it eternal? It needs to be eternal. So, you're saved, you're on your way to heaven, you need to use the things that are eternal. So, letter A is the resilience of our materials. How is the things that I'm using going to stand up with the fires of God's judgment? Okay? All right, letter B. Letter B. The revealing of our works. The blank there is revealing. The revealing of our works. Look down at verse number 13, please. The Bible says, every man's work shall be made manifest. Every man's work shall be made manifest. That means that it shall be made known. Where is it going to be made known at? We're going to look at that. It's the judgment seat of Christ, if you want to write a note there. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. This is what we were talking about earlier. Okay? Revealed by fire. So if I've done it all temporal, not going to be much to show for it. But if I've, I think everybody has some temporal in there. But we want to major on the eternal and minor on the temporal. So that when this day comes, when this fire comes, look what it says, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. In other words, it's going to try it if it's gold, silver, and precious stone. It's going to try if it's wood, hay, or stubble. And what's left is going to be very, letter B, revealing. Revealing. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It tells us a little bit more about that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What day is this talking about? Paul writes in verse 10 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, For we, that we there is believers. You can write a note in your Bible, write a note in your notes. Believers. For we. For we must all, okay? No exception. All believers will be at the judgment seat of Christ. How's it gonna look? I don't know exactly, okay? I'm just saying we're gonna all be there at some point. Whether we're there as a group, whether we're there as, I don't know, but we must all appear, okay? Before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in, look, his body, according to that he hath done. Okay? So, I'm not going to receive rewards for your building with eternal, and vice versa, or the other way around, using temporal thing. No, I'm not going to be able to say, well, I didn't build with the right materials because of so-and-so's influence in my life. You know, sorry, that's not going to work. It's going to be based on what I've done. We're not going to be rewarded for what the church did necessarily. We're going to be rewarded or a lack of rewards for what we have done, what he hath done. So this is the what's called the judgment seat of Christ. Okay, what will happen here? What will be dealt with here? What will be judged here? Words that were spoken, thoughts that were entertained, actions that were hidden will be dealt with on that day. And may God help us not to be so deceived by the enemy and foolish to think that we can hide disobedience from an omniscient, omnipotent Heavenly Father. He's omniscient, he's all-knowing, he's omnipotent, he's all-powerful, he's omnipresent, he's everywhere. How can we be so foolish to think we can hide something from him? We cannot hide something from him. In fact, it is important that we are striving to be obedient to what God wants us to do. We are already saved, and so it shouldn't be a have to, it should be a want to. Here's a quote I found. God's gracious gift of salvation does not free us from the requirement of faithful obedience. Oh, did you catch that? It does not free us. Yes, salvation is a gift. If you're listening right now, watching right now, you cannot be saved by your good works. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Titus 3, 5. You cannot be saved by works. The law does not save. No, what saves? Jesus Christ and Christ alone. John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You cannot come through the church to be saved. You cannot come through the baptism to be saved. Baptism does not save you. No, you only are saved. We only can be saved through grace. By faith, through grace, or through grace by faith. However you want to look at it. They all go together. Amen? By God's mercy, I don't go to hell. By God's grace, I can go to heaven. Grace, getting what I don't deserve. Mercy, not getting what I do deserve. That's what you deserve today. Sir, ma'am, teenager, senior, mom, dad, husband, wife, whatever hat you wear, all of them. You deserve to go to hell. I deserve to go to hell. I deserve to pay for my own sin. But God, who is rich in mercy, read that this week in the devotional. But God, who is rich in mercy, he's loved us. He's given us salvation through Jesus Christ. Oh, if you've never been saved, now, humble yourself even now. You don't have to even keep listening. Just mute me and pray and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life and save you and forgive you of your sin and provide you a home in heaven, and that you're turning to him and him alone to save you. And he will save you now. He will in no wise reject you if you come in his name, if you come by grace through faith. And so salvation, it's simple. Oh, but so many miss it because of pride. So many miss it because of being deceived. So many miss it because they're blinded. I'm telling you today that Jesus Christ is ready to save you if you'll just call on him even right now. just because we get saved doesn't mean that we can just live however we want. No. We don't want to abuse grace. No, because now that I'm saved, I want to live right. You see, something changes when I get saved. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Why? Because I have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of me. If you're saved today, God's Spirit indwells you. And if God's Spirit indwells you, He's going to lead you to truth. He's going to lead me to obedience. Now, I still have the will to say no. You still have the will to say no, and that's disobedience, and that's wrong. And maybe you're living in sin right now, and you need to confess that before God. Get that dealt with. Get it dealt with now. Turn to Him in confession. Turn away from the sin. Turn to Him. It's not getting saved again. You're still saved. When your son disobeys you, he's not automatically kicked out of your house. No, he's your son. Nothing can change that. But that can definitely affect your fellowship if he's living in rebellion and doesn't want to do anything that you ask him to do, and so forth and so on. That's the same thing that happens with God. When we sin against God, he doesn't kick us out of his family as a Christian, no, but it affects our fellowship with him. So as we said, God's gracious gift of salvation does not free us from the requirement of faithful obedience. We need to be doing good works because we are saved. Ephesians 2:10, I just quoted 8 and 9. How about verse 10? Most of you know it. Okay? For we are His workmanship. Whose workmanship? God's workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God saved me, not just to miss hell. God saved me to serve and live for His honor and glory. God saved me to do good works. Not so that I can say I'm a good person or that the church is a good church. There's no perfect church. There's no perfect Christian. But there is a perfect God. There is a perfect Savior. There is a perfect Holy Spirit. Notice what it says in Hebrews 4:13. Along the lines, if we think we're going to be able to just hide it, oh, we're very mistaken. Look at Hebrews 4:13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, that is not made known in His sight. Okay? Manifest. Something revealed. Something obvious. Something clear. There is no creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things. I'd circle those two words. All things. All still means all. And that's all means. But all things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Oh, my friend, today as we consider the revealing of our works, there's coming a day when my works are going to be tried by the fire of God. What's going to be left? Is there going to be anything left to give to Him? It's our goal. It should be our desire to eliminate wood, hay, and stubble. It should be our desire to eliminate, I'm doing this because I like praise. No. You've got your reward. I'm doing this because I like recognition. No. That's not the right attitude. No. I want to work. I want to serve. I want to labor for God and for God's glory and for the cause of Christ and for the kingdom of God and to please Him. That's most important. That we would please Him. Please Him who's given us the gift of eternal life. Please Him who's never failed us or forsaken us. Please Him who's given us richly all things to enjoy. That ought to be our goal every day, that we might please God. And in the midst of pleasing God, we can be such a blessing and encouragement within the home that we live in, within the church that we're a member of, as we strive together. Letter A is the resilience of our materials. What kind of materials are we using? Time to switch over to gold, silver, and precious stones if you're not. Letter B, the revealing of our works. The revealing of our works. And then letter C, we've kind of hit on a little bit, the results of our judgment. The blank is results of our judgment. Look at verse 14 and 15. If any man's work abide. So, if any man's work abide. So, it made it through the fire. It's still there. Which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a what? Reward. There it is. What's going to be left? What's going to be left? If any man's work shall be burned. Nothing there. Just a bunch of ashes. He's gone. He shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Yet so as by fire. So it's not about if I don't have anything left after this judgment that I'm going to go to hell. No, that's not what it says. Because if I'm at this judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, if you're at this judgment, you're saved. Okay? By the way, this is determined by what you do with Christ before you die. Oh, please don't delay. Please don't put that off. There's no time to wait. I mean, life is fragile, isn't it? No one knows when they're going to die. No one knows even when Christ is going to return, as we looked at this week in our devotions at Anchor Baptist. No one knows when that's going to come. We're supposed to be looking. If we're looking for His appearing, that means we're building with wood, hay, and stone. That means we're building with gold, silver, and precious stone. If we're looking. If we don't really care that He's coming back, that's the kind of person that's going to use wood, hay, and stubble. Folks, He is coming. He's coming soon. His soon and my soon may not be on the same page, but I want to be looking. I want to be longing. I want to be longing for His return. I can't wait for Him to come back. I really truly wish He would come back today. Don't you? Are you ready? We ought to be living for His return, living in His will, as if He were to return, that we would not be ashamed or there would be such little regret. We want to limit that regret as much as possible, and we'll look at that in just a moment. So the results, as with the servants in the parable of Matthew 25, 14 to 30, our Lord is keeping track of those who faithfully labor and will reward them accordingly. He's keeping track. He's keeping track of it all. What kind of labor are you doing for the Lord? 2 Timothy chapter 4, we looked at this, I believe we looked at it last Sunday possibly in the preaching time. The last words of the Apostle Paul writing to his son in the faith, Timothy. Again, these are verses that maybe you've memorized. Verse 7 says, 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I always like that word my there. You don't have to finish my course. I have to finish my course. I don't need to finish your course. You need to finish your course. So be content within your own skin, all right? That's what that means. It means God made me, and I can serve Him, and I can glorify Him. I don't need to be Pastor so-and-so. I need to be Pastor Turner. I don't need to be this person. I need to be Ben Turner. And I need to let God's Spirit fill me and use me because He created me and He has given me a spirit. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And I don't need to be somebody else. And neither do you. So we finished my course. Paul said, I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. That's the judgment seat of Christ. And not to me only, but unto all them also that what? Love His appearing. Love His appearing. Looking for it. Longing for it. Living for it. And loving it. Loving it. I can't wait till He comes. Do you have that? Are you there as well? Notice it says there, those who have been faithful can anticipate the commendation of their Savior. Look at verse 14. He shall receive a reward. Wow. Isn't that what we want to hear? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Isn't that what we want to hear? You know, here is your reward. I do. I want to hear that. And it's not so that I can have a stack of rewards in my home in heaven or whatever I'm going to live in heaven. It's so that I can give it back to the Lord. It's so that I can bring more honor and glory to the Lord. But unfortunately, those who have been unfaithful face disapproval. It doesn't mean that you're rejected and you're going out of heaven, but it means there's disapproval at that judgment. That's not what we want to see. That's not what we want to hear. Commentator John Phillips says about this judgment that it will be a day of revelation, a day of rewards, and a day of regrets. I wrote this down in the margin of my notes. God helping me, I want to maximize the rewards and minimize the regrets. Maximize the rewards, minimize the regrets. Are there going to be regrets? Yes, there are. It's impossible. I live in this flesh. You live in the flesh. But we want to minimize those. We want to minimize them. We don't want to contribute to those any more than we already have. We want to contribute to the blessing. We want to contribute to the rewards. In 1877, a Baptist hymn writer from Massachusetts, Charles C. Luther, heard a preacher tell of a young man who was about to die. This man had only been a Christian for a month. This man was very sad because he had had little time to serve the God who saved him, to serve his Lord. He said, quote, I am not afraid to die. Jesus saves me now. But must I go empty-handed? This experience prompted the writing of a hymn in which Mr. Luther shifted the focus on those who have been saved for a longer time than this young man. And he wrote these words, "Must I go and empty-handed? Thus my dear Redeemer meet? Not one day of service give him? Lay no trophy at his feet. Must I go and empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with which to greet him. Must I empty-handed go? All the years in sinning wasted, could I but recall them now, I would give them to my Savior. To his will I'd gladly bow. O ye saints, arouse, be earnest. Up and work while yet 'tis day. Ere the night of death o'ertake thee, strive for souls while you may." This has been an amazing 3 weeks on this very first lesson. We at Anchor Baptist Church are seeking to strive together for the glory of God. We have the Word of God that has been inspired and preserved to help us, to benefit us, to feed us as we seek to give God all the glory. It is imperative that we put aside competition. It is imperative. We are not competing against one another. We are not competing against our brothers and sisters, even in the city of Burnaby. We are on one team. We should be cooperating together as servants. God is our master, a loving master, by the way. We are his servants. We need him. We cannot do anything without him. Jesus said, "Without me, you are nothing." We must increase. He must decrease, John 3:30. And we must be careful what we're using to build our lives on and build Anchor Baptist Church on. Now, Jesus Christ said he would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. But what are we using to build? What are we using to assist in that, if you will, or serving in that, if you will? We must choose the eternal. We must choose the gold, the silver, and the precious stone. We must reject the wood, hay, and stubble, the earthly things. I don't want to be empty-handed when I get to heaven. I don't want to get to heaven and think, "Oh, I wish I had given more tracts out. I wish I had," and I probably will wish that. But I want to limit that. I want to minimize. Remember, minimize the regrets, maximize the rewards. How do we do that? Build with the right materials. Gold, silver, precious stone.